how we hear his word, if we hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If we're open, God always has something for us. Let me give an example. And most of us, for myself anyway, as he was explaining the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says that the gospel which I've delivered unto you, unless you have believed in vain, I always thought, now that's an empty faith. Went on to explain later in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians that if there is no resurrection, our faith is vain. So what that really means is, if you don't believe the true gospel, Christ died for our sins and rose again, your faith is vain, and because it's not a true gospel. Anyway, so there's always enlightenment. There's always growth. And we always want to have the attitude, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What do you have for me? Now, when it comes to hearing the word, this is very personal. You know, it's a matter of the heart. It is wonderful, isn't it, to be on the receiving end. I've enjoyed that. And hearing. But you realize there's a stewardship involved in that between us and God on how we hear. And he's very interested in how we hear. The Lord appeals in the Bible. Earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Of course, that's an appeal, you know, to the world. If they'd hear the word of God, that the faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But then there's the appeal, you know it, Revelation 2 and 3, seven times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so the Holy Spirit personally ministers to our hearts, does he not? Even at a time like this, maybe one thing for one person, another thing for another. I'm not saying the Bible says different things. It's objective. It says one thing. But you know what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit knows how to customize the truth for us personally. So we want to hear, and we want to have that attitude again. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Now, we know that only believers really hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the first time you really hear the word is when you believe it, right? And I'll say some things for you young people. This is fortunate you young people are on my simple message here instead of Dr. Allen. And although I hope you hear him the next time. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Let me give an illustration Jesus gave earlier in that chapter, John 10, where the shepherd, if he wanted to get a good night's sleep, I'm elaborating a little, you know the chapter, he would take the sheep to the, I think he's called the porter, and the sheep weren't branded or anything, and they'd go in and mingle with the other sheep, but in the morning he would go and he'd call his sheep, and his sheep would hear his voice. I had a great uncle that was a sheep farmer out of Pittsburgh, and that is the case. The sheep know the shepherd knows the sheep. And so it is a child of God that hears his voice. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have that privilege. But we want to have the attitude of prayerfulness and hearing it right. And open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need illumination, don't we? And of course, faith is the key that opens it up. But the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher that we all have in our hearts, where he can teach us, he can guide us. Now, let's go to a passage in James 1. Can't turn to all these for time. I'm going to try to do this in 45 minutes. We'll get back on schedule here. And while you're going there, I want to mention, if you're not aware, we do have a reservation of Bob Evans at 12:30. So I hope everybody can join us. Not to make you think about fried chicken or anything like that right now, you know. But we'll join together over there for fellowship. In James chapter 1, in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And so here we have the thought of not only faith, of course the gospel must be mixed with faith in order to receive it. Let me back up a little on that thought. 1 Thessalonians 2, for instance, the Apostle Paul said, you heard our teaching, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So faith is the foundation for this. But then, going forward from that, there's a certain attitude of meekness, contriteness, reverence that God is looking for in our hearts to hear the word. And this thought of meekness here, notice, is that which should characterize our reception. And as we receive that word, it is able to save our souls. Now, salvation from the penalty of sins, the moment we trust Christ, who died for our sins and rose again, but is there not the salvation from the power of sin, salvation from the presence of sin, and 1 Timothy 4, those that teach, they'll both save themselves and those that hear him. We're definitely referring to salvation from the power of sin. So either way you look at it, if we receive it with meekness, he is going to give us a deliverance. Psalm 25:9 says, the meek will he teach his way. And with the thought of meekness, I think of, it isn't weakness, by the way, you know. It is a yieldedness. You know how on the highway it says yield? Nobody does that anymore. You got to get over. But the thought is you want to yield to the Lord. What would you have me to do? You know, what are you saying to my heart? I want to go your way. Well, let's turn to Psalm 25 because it pops up repeatedly. The psalmist is looking for guidance. And he's praying for that. Psalm 25. Let's go to verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. You know God will answer that prayer. That's a good prayer. Verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Now please go to Psalm 86:11. This thought of, we're really going now into not just a meekness, but a teachableness that accompanies it. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And one more, Psalm 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So how important to be pliable, to be teachable, to be yielded in God's hand, that he could instruct us and guide us. Now, going still on this thought of the attitude, there's a meekness. Please go to Isaiah. Now, you're going to have to pardon me jumping here and there. I would have loved to have a certain text that would include all these things, but there is none. So this is topical. In Psalm 66:2, here we see another attitude so important in relation to God's word. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Now that would be poor in spirit. And then notice, a crushed spirit is the thought, and who trembles at his word. And so there's a certain reverence involved in that. You know, it's always a bad sign, a red flag, when there's a lightness in relation to the Bible. It's always a very good sign when a person hears well the Bible. Now, you know, as teachers, and a lot of you are teachers, you can perceive, can't you? You can perceive how people hear the word. Reminds me of the story. It might have been Morgan, the man that was introducing him to the audience. He said, "Now I'm going to introduce a young man. He was a lot of trouble to me. He'd even throw rocks through the windows of the church." And he was trouble. But I noticed something about this young man, how he heard the word of God. And I want to introduce this young man to you. He's the preacher today. So there might be some ups and downs, but if a person hears the word well, that's a sign that God is working. That's a sign the Holy Spirit is working, and they're yielding in this way, and they have an attitude that's very, very good towards the word. So how important to have that broken spirit before God. I'm a needy person, Lord. I need your truth. And to have that reverence in relation to God in his word. Now, let's go into something else practical, trying to make this practical today. Not teaching any doctrine for you here. You already know about inspiration and inerrancy and infallibility and authority of the scriptures. And it, really, that's the premise behind all that, right? We know this is the word of God. I'm not going into that, the doctrine. But it lives and abides forever. It is truth. And isn't it wonderful? I so appreciate the detailed study Dr. Houghton is bringing us. It's like treasures here and there. And it's absolutely authoritative. It isn't a certain church or any denomination, but what saith the Lord? Well, that being the case, please go to Luke chapter 10. You know this. This is a beautiful scene. This is a home where you have people who trust the Lord, who love the Lord, Mary and Martha. And they're having Jesus over for dinner. That would be quite a challenge, probably with the 12 disciples. In Luke 10:38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord,'" now this is a bad move. You don't rebuke the Lord. "'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, not to go into all the details of this, but these are two personalities, of course. And Martha, she's one that serves, and it's good. You don't want to be too critical. But Mary also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And notice, one thing is needful, Jesus said, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When I was working full-time and trying to start a church, I always tried to have Saturdays set apart to study. You know, it's kind of tough. You're going through the week, and then you got these messages to prepare. So I had that as a precedence. And the boss didn't always like it. You know, he kind of put the pressure on. But I felt like because I chose it, God gave it. And there were exceptions. But if you choose it, God will give it to you. If we don't choose it, we might be like Martha. We might blow up, even if we're serving. And we might not have a lot of self-control. But the point here is priority. And with that thought of priority, please go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, you folks are here. You've made it a priority today. Appreciate that. And notice here in Hebrews chapter 10, you know, sometimes with the thought of being under grace, there can be the viewpoint, well, I'll go to this service, or I'll go to that service. And, well, let me just read the context here. verse 24, Hebrews 10:24. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching." So, priority. And faithfulness, what a blessing that is. And you know, it's almost a guarantee. If Christians are saturated with the word, and if they're faithful to get it, it will change their lives. You can almost guarantee it, you know, based on the Bible. And so if there is that kind of priority, that kind of faithfulness, where a person puts themselves in a position where they can hear the word, it's going to bring the blessing. And so being available to hear, and with the management of our time, that it is a priority. Now, I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, if you turn there, to chapter 31. Here's a good example of the Israelites and how the whole family was involved in the hearing of the word. And I believe this was when they go into the land and possess it, every seventh year they would do this. In fact, the Israelites were told they would memorize the Pentateuch. And I believe that's probably the case with many of them. And of course, their education was the word, you know, for their children. And notice in Deuteronomy 31, verse 9, Moses wrote this law, delivered it unto the priests and the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. So it was with diligence. And I think it's in the book of Nehemiah, is it, or Ezra, where they'd stand half the day and they listen. The other half of the day they'd confess their sins and they'd worship. But it was a major thing. You know, in early America, people, subsistence farming, were told they would come together. The preacher would preach for 4 hours. You know, they'd probably break for a meal. They'd go for maybe a few more hours. But it must have been wonderful. It'd be a Bible conference every weekend. So, but how we need it, brethren. We need all we can get, don't we? We need that saturation. That's as Lewis Berry Chafer used to emphasize. Saturation, like a sponge. You know, the old sponges you used to be able to get. It's an animal. It lives on the floor of the sea. And they really soak up the water. And we need to be that way with the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, some other points I'd like to bring out. And by the way, since this is a seminar, if you got anything to add, because I'm sure this won't be exhausted, raise your hand. We appreciate any contribution. You know, in the Bible, I won't return there, we're near it, but Deuteronomy 27, well, you had the blessings and the curses, and after they'd read it, all the people said, amen. Now, you know what that means. I agree. And so, we hear the word, we want to be in agreement with the word. The word stands in judgment on us, not us on the word. And the Holy Spirit who wrote it, who's in us, can give us understanding, but we want to be in agreement. Can two walk together unless it be agreed? And in fact, we need to constantly be realigned because we have the sin nature, right? And so God teaches us about how we want to be in tune with what he's saying. Now, here we're getting into the devotional side. And this is true, isn't it? You sit at a conference, you're hearing a word, you got your own situation, you have your own needs. You're seeking his face, right? You're seeking to fellowship with him. That's what really makes it a blessing, the worship in spirit and in truth. And so let me share something with you. We were over east at Middletown Bible Church, and they have a little preparation time in the beginning. This time, Pastor George Zeller, well, he always leads it, but he did it a little bit differently than just a few people praying. He would have a devotional thought, and one of them, and it really impressed my mind, was to have your mind on the Lord, not self. You know, you can come to a conference and you can, maybe not you, but me, you can be self-conscious, you know. Well, we want self to be out of the picture. We want to be off looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We want to be seeing Jesus, sirs, we would see Jesus in the Bible. In other words, We want it to be devotional where He is revealed to our hearts. You remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus opened up the Scriptures and showed them in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets the things concerning Himself. And then at the end, they said, did not our heart burn within us while He opened to us the Scriptures? That's what we need, brethren. We need Jesus to be seen, and that's as high as it gets. And to He's the message. God has spoken in Son. And please go to Psalm 119. So with that devotion, isn't there a certain love of the Word, a certain love for Him that we want to be involved in the hearing of the Word? In Psalm 119, in verse 47, 119:47, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And then verse 127, same chapter. 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So, how we ought to value the Word. Love the Word. We love the Lord of the Word. There's a story, some may have heard this, of the young lady who reads a book, and it's extremely boring to her. And then she gets into a relationship with a young man. She's very interested in him. And then she notices that his initials and his name are exactly like the author of the book. And she asks him about it, and he said, oh, yes, they are. I wrote the book. Well, now she goes back to the book, and she's very interested in the book. So if we know the Lord of the book, oh, it comes alive, right? It is like a love letter from God, very meaningful and personal to our hearts. So we need that devotional aspect, don't we, to be in agreement, to be in devotion to Him. And my time's going to fail me. Proverbs chapter 2, well, maybe we can get to that. Proverbs 2, it's a seeking heart that finds. It's crying after wisdom. It can't be a light, cursory type of thing. You can tell with Dr. Houghton, he has studied many years. Well, it just doesn't come without work. There is a diligence, right, and a seeking. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, if liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So you might say we're going to get out of it about as much as we put into it. So if we want to go deep, we have to dig, right? And so what a privilege. And the flesh resists that, you know. But surely our hearts can grow in our capacity to take in the Word. If you feed the flesh grows in what it wants, right? If you feed the spiritual part, then we can grow in that and gain more and more of an appetite for the Word. Now, you know, the Bible is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. And, of course, the end is to glorify God, enjoy Him forever. It begins with personal faith in Jesus for salvation, but then to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. So that's not going to happen, though, unless we apply the Word. You know, this thing of Bible knowledge is one thing. Application of Bible knowledge is another. For instance, in Colossians 1, Paul prays that they have spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of God unto all pleasing. So the object, the goal, is our walk. We need the understanding to know how to walk. But John 7, just to paraphrase, Jesus said, he that has a deep-rooted determination, God's will to practice, he shall know the doctrine. So if we have a willingness to do it, God's going to show us. You can't play cat and mouse with God. Now you show me your will, Lord. Now decide if I'll do it. If we're on the altar and we already are devoted in that way, what we want to do His will, we know He's going to show us His will. And then that leads, does it not, to obedience. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And this is my last point on the positive side. We're going to go to the how we don't want to hear the word. Matthew chapter 7. I like this sitting down at the table, you know. This is all right. I might go back to this for the Bible class since we've got a good mic here. In Matthew 7, in verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now we know Jesus isn't teaching works salvation. In fact, He doesn't teach salvation at all in the Sermon on the Mount. It's instruction to His disciples. Although, you know the first step of obedience? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But the hearing and the doing is depicted by the house that's built upon the rock. Now that's a solid life. The hearing and the not doing, that's the sinking sand. It's all going to come tumbling down. Now let's go to James 1, you know it, and the classic section on obedience to the word. Pastor, Dr. Houghton has brought up that thought of the mirror, you know, the law is like a mirror that shows yourself. And, of course, it reflects the fact that we fall short and we need salvation through faith in Christ. But the word is considered as a mirror in general, too, to show us where we need adjustment. In James 1:22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So, it's a promise, and you have that a few times in the Bible. When you have something a few times in the Bible, you know we're to take heed to that. Joshua 1, obedience to His Word, it's going to bring blessing. Now, I'll ask you, this might be my own opinion, but what book in the Old Testament would parallel with Proverbs, if there is one? I really gave it away. Parallels with James, the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. And you notice the promises in Proverbs. God really means, this is the point I want to make here in that book of wisdom. God really means what He says. And this is for young people, you want to listen to this. God really means what He says. If you go God's way, I'm not just talking about salvation, but if you obey God's word, you will be blessed. You go contrary to God's word, you'll be sorry for that. It will have its consequences. So we're looking at something. This is God's word. So you want to hear it with that fear and trembling, and want to hear it with a submission, and we want to hear it with application. We want to hear it with obedience. That's kind of the bottom line. God's looking for a response. And you know, it's so good to be at a time like this to get a saturation with the word. But that can even be that which kind of fades as you go into next week. Well, the blessing is where we retain it and we apply it. And that's where real growth is found. That's what I believe Paul was talking about when he said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, having apprehended that for which I've been apprehended." Not just to know the Lord, but to be like the Lord, conform to His image. Well, that's the positive side of faith, meekness, contriteness, reverence, well, teachableness, priority, diligence, faithfulness, agreement, devotion, a seeking heart, willingness to obey, obedience. Now, how not to hear God's word? I thought about taking this first, and we have a limitation of time, but let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. In the early Athens days, before Pastor Hickson was there, we had a young man. He was from seminary. He was a brilliant man. And, I'll give his name, Ralph Smith. And he taught in a very expressive way, you know, with the King's vocabulary. Let's just put it that way. And he had a lady at the end. She came up. "You are so intelligent." Well, that's not exactly the response he's looking for. Now, let me compare that with what it says here in Ezekiel 33 in verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of thy houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them." And probably Ezekiel was eloquent. You know, he was a prophet. He was enabled by the Holy Spirit. And it sounded good. Didn't do him any good because they didn't hear it in the right way. They didn't hear it in order to obey. Now, I won't turn to this one for time, but it's a sad testimony there of God in Malachi 1, where Israel, when they turned to a formalism, in chapter 1, verse 13, they said, "The table of the Lord, what a weariness is it?" And they sniffed at it. Another Bible study. Another conference. Another service. "I've heard it before." Watch it. And we don't want to have that attitude. And in fact, it is an expression of something that's wrong in the heart. Now, I'm going to have to move quickly. These are negative things. We don't want to take it lightly. We never want to be weary of it. And we surely don't want to have a prejudice. And again, for time, maybe I'll just refer to this, where in Jeremiah, you have the leaders of Israel after the Babylonian captivity, where Jerusalem was sacked. And there was a group that they had the freedom to go back to Jerusalem and they could dwell there. But they came to Jeremiah and they said, "Now, whatever you say, we'll do, whether it be good or bad," because they didn't do what Jeremiah said before. Go out to the king of Babylon, you'll save your lives. And they didn't submit, and most of them died. Well, he went, I think, for 10 days, and he came back and he said, "Now you dissembled in your hearts. You didn't mean that. And it isn't God's will for you to go into Egypt, but you've already determined that you're going to go into Egypt." And then one of them spoke up and said, "Oh, Baruch has set you against us. And this isn't the word of the Lord. We are going into Egypt." In other words, they already had a preconceived idea. They weren't open to God. And now this is a little more general application. You know, a person can have preconceived ideas doctrinally even and not be open to what God has to say. So we want to be open. Again, that attitude, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Now, what would you say? I should have asked more questions. What would you say the main wrong way is to hear the word? That's it. Unbelief. And well, let's go to Hebrews 4. Now, this is dangerous. A person hears the word and they don't believe it. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So if there's no faith, it does you no good. In fact, the condemnation is increased to hear the word. You know, you think about America, brethren, and how there's been much light here, but there's been a rejection. We had a lady years ago in our church, Mrs. Elsa Beebing, and this is 30 years ago, and she was a displaced person from Estonia after World War II. The communists came in, took her husband, never saw him, and her son and her mother traveled across Europe to Germany. Bullets flying overhead and everything, and they made it. And they came over in a big ship in 1950. And then when she got here, she knew there was an Estonian pastor in Canada and asked that he'd bring a Bible down. Well, he did. He brought more than that. He brought a Bible class. She came to the Lord and some of the relatives. But she made this statement, and I never forgot. She said she thought America is like Estonia because they're Lutheran. Well, the Lutherans used to have, you know, good doctrine for the most part, justification by faith at least. But they grew cold and formalistic, and communists moved in and judged them. That was her view of America. Now, this is 30 years ago. It's cold, formalistic. Most churches in America preached the gospel 100 years ago. But now it's formalistic. How long will it last? You know, one of the judgments upon Israel would God pronounced because of their lack of reception of the word was a famine of the word. And that they wouldn't, it's in the book of Hosea and somewhere else too, I think, that there would be that, and they wouldn't have the privilege of that. So, you know, we want to cherish it. It's wonderful. There's a lighthouse here and there, places that preach the word. We want to value that. And so, unbelief, that's a great sin. Now, there can also be pride, like the Pharisees, not to turn to any scriptures, but, you know, they declare they could see, and therefore they were blind. And if we think we know anything, we know nothing as we ought. So, again, we need that humility. Or there can be neglect, other priorities, and that's always a fearful thing. And we neglect our own souls. Now, here's one that we all deal with, and it can be a hindrance. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. D.L. Moody said, "Sin will keep you from this book, or this book will keep you from sin." And when there's sin in the life, there's a lack of ability to hear the word. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere or pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now, do you think if there's the malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, that the word can bear any fruit? When sin is, we're all sinners, but if sin is condoned, well, that's where the word is choked. If there are idols set up in the heart instead of God and His will, there's a resistance there, isn't there? And the flesh doesn't want it, doesn't want that rebuke. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It does cut. It does rebuke. And we need the rebukes. We need to be cut. He wounds, but He heals, and it's all part of growth. Please go to James chapter 1. You know, we need the whole counsel of God, and it's good to read through those major and minor prophets. And there's a whole lot of rebuke against sin, which apparently we need. James 1:20. Well, we read this, I think. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So whatever there is, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit can convict through His word. We want to confess that, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Christ keeps on cleansing from all sin. Now, have a few more minutes. Please go to Hebrews chapter 5. It's possible, isn't it, to be dull of hearing. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. "Of whom we have many things to say." Now that's Jesus typified by Melchizedek, an eternal priest, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when, for the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, something to dread, isn't it? A dullness. We've all experienced it, no doubt. But it's wonderful, isn't it? There is a renewal that God can give. I won't turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 3 seems to be a related subject where Paul said, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal. And there's strife and division, sectarianism. And they're unable, therefore, to hear the word. So, again, sin will keep us from the book, or the book will keep us from sin. Now, there's much more that maybe could be said. Hebrews 2, for instance, let me go to this one at least. Hebrews 2, 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, which you know means lest we would slip, like a boat tied up to the dock and the rope is loose and with the waves coming in. Before you know it, you know, you're out there in the lake. So how we want to, as Paul put it to Timothy, hold fast that form of sound doctrine and faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And get grip on the truth and continue to grow in it. Well, any additional thoughts, pastors and teachers out there or anybody else? What have I missed? You know, this is an impromptu thing. Amen. Amen. Certain fear of God. Yeah, pretty good. I'm sorry? Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Very good. And you know, as teachers, you know, you can tell, I meant to say this in the beginning, you can tell how people hear the word. Last Sunday we were in Acts chapter 14 where Paul perceived that the man had faith to be made whole. And of course he did heal him, but the word sometimes is translated saved. And I believe in that case, as in many places where he says, your faith has saved you, same Greek word. That was the case. He perceived, he could see that man was hearing. And of course, he was preaching the gospel, it says in verse 7 of that chapter. So as teachers, there's that element, isn't there? You can tell how people are hearing the word. Valerie. thinking of recipes, huh? Or something like that. Take notes, yep. Well, may God give us grace to hear. May we grow in that ability to hear. May we be teachable. And may we hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are in the last days of the last days, it seems. And so how important to hear His Word well and to be transformed by it. Well, Ben, would you close us in prayer?